We're messy, damaged humans clinging to each other as we battle through the storm together. But it's okay because we're together. And this morning, Jen and I are talking about Still Beating by Jennifer Hartman. And I think that's one of the very first times we got title and author right on the first try.
Yeah, on the first try. Yeah, probably. I think so.
Oh, I feel a little sleep deprived this morning. I should have said that before.
Oh, that's okay.
So, things I didn't like about the book. It's going to become a complete shocker, but I did not like the main female character.
Yeah, why?
I didn't like this whole... Okay. Obviously, people make stupid decisions, and she's justified in making her stupid decisions. But then I felt like she went and did, I don't even know what goes beyond stupid decisions. That's what she was doing. And like, I get everybody handles trauma differently, but we have to remember this is fiction and it's in a book. I didn't like the fact that she was using him to heal herself. And I say like heal in quotations, but then still blaming him for destroying her. That's what I didn't like, because she kept on like, oh, I need you, I can't sleep without you, let's have sex. And then she's like, you're suffocating me, you're still killing me, like you're not giving me what a da 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 da. And I didn't like that, because I think in her mind she forgot that he was traumatized too.
Well, yeah, because he was the protector the whole time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I didn't like that. That bothered me. And I do find it curious that the author decided to write it that way. Mm-hmm. Instead of them like trying to work through it together. But I mean, I guess then you wouldn't have the ending that you had. But still, I don't think I've read a book where people have suffered trauma together and then they blame each other or they blame the other person without recognizing that they need to heal too. At least that I remember. It's probably true that I have, but not that I can remember the top of my head. So it was definitely a twist.
Yeah. I think what bothered me was, and granted, I mean, you're dealing with like this unbelievable trauma, but I wish it hadn't like gone on behind everyone's backs for as long as it did, and they had figured out a way to actually communicate like with the sister and with the family. And I mean, and there's so many layers there. I mean, obviously there's shame and there's guilt, and you know, there's so much to work through, that the way Jennifer ended up like splitting them up made sense. But I feel like that wouldn't have had to have happened if they had like, kind of like what you said, like gone and sat down together and communicated about things, mm-hmm. instead of just like basically reverting back to the trauma to try to work through the trauma.
Yeah. And also trying to revert back to the relationship that they had before. And he's like, no, we can't do that.
Yeah.
I'm glad that you brought up the sister, because I hated her. She was a selfish beep. All she cared about was herself. She didn't care that they suffered this thing. It's like, well, when are you going to get better? It's been like 3 weeks. Like, why are you not over this? Like,
yeah.
And then it was really hard to tell if the parents were on her side or her sister's side. I don't even remember her name, so we'll just call her Beep, because that's what she was. Shit. I lost my thought. I think I lost my thought because I said Beep instead of Bitch, and I don't know why I'm censoring myself.
Yeah, you certainly don't have to censor yourself around here.
That's not a sign. Something's wrong. I don't know what is. I think that's why I'm like, why did you just say Beep? And then I had no idea what I was saying. Okay, anyways. I think I was really sad for him because he settled with the sister when he had, you know, had feelings for her like 15 years. Like, I think you're right. I think if they would have communicated at least when they were younger, maybe things would have turned out differently.
So fiance had feelings for the sister prior to the trauma?
Prior, before he hooked up with her sister, yeah. In the basement, that's one of his confessions. So they confess things to each other. And he's like, I've liked you since we were in high school, before he got with the sister. The sister was just second choice.
I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the miscommunication trope, if you want to call it that, like, it just irritates the Jesus out of me. And this is coming from somebody, like, I don't know, like, I guess Mike and I used to have miscommunications, but, like, now we communicate about everything, so, like, miscommunication irritates me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, yeah, I don't know.
And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. Like, I legit thought that they were going to be enemies, not this faux or fa. What's the word? Faux? Fa? Fake? Fake enemies? Yeah. Like, they were only enemies in her head. Like, I really expected them to be, like, on the opposite side of the family tracks sort of thing.
Yeah.
And then coming together, and then part of the obstacle would have been not only coming over the trauma, but then having to, you know, defeat the odds of being together. Aww. Silly morning kisses.
Huh. That's interesting, because I remember them being, like, pretty hateful towards each other prior to the basement.
So it was like Sybil rivalry is what it was, playing like pranks on them. But to him, it was just their love language. And to her, like, she's like, no, you are my enemy. Like, you threw flour on me from the kitchen. You know, put salt instead of sugar in my coffee. You know, like, it was ridiculous things, but she, like, took it to heart. And he's just like, I just thought we were having fun. That was our love language. That's how we talked. Like, he's like, I've never been your enemy. That. If you needed me, I've been there, like, with the dog and, like, all the things. He's like, which I guess just kind of full circle as to why we don't like her.
Yeah.
Because at first when I started reading it, I was like, please tell me the guy she doesn't end up with is her sister's fiance. Like, I didn't realize the history till we get to the basement.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. I thought it was a interesting concept. And I could certainly see, like, I feel like you could only go one of two ways in that situation. I think you would either have to, like, not hate the person, but, like, hate the person and never see them again, or you would spend the rest of your life with them.
Yeah. You know,
no one's going to understand, like, that trauma.
And people are only going to pretend or want you for the spotlight.
Yeah.
So I do think it's interesting that there's, like, two other books in this shared universe.
Oh, there is?
Yeah. I don't know if you remember at the end, which was, this was total cop out. It fucking made no sense that he let one of them go. He let the chick go, the chick at the end. I don't know if you remember. And she had a baby by, not by him, but by the guy that she was locked in the basement with. Yeah.
Wait, so, what?
Yeah. So he's the heartbreak killer, and he would take people that he saw together, like at clubs or whatever, that weren't really couples, and then force them to, like, fall in love. And then once they fall in love, he kills one of them or both of them. Well, this chick apparently pretended to have feelings for the heartbreak killer or whatever his name is. And then once her and her professor fell in love, because that's who he kidnapped, was her professor, he killed the professor and then let her go.
Is this a different book?
No, this is in this book. We learned this in this book, but she has her own book. That made no sense.
I'm so confused.
Yeah. So as they're, like, going through their trauma and they're unfolding and the case is happening, somebody comes forward and says, I was held by the heartbreak killer too, but he let me go.
Oh.
And we learn about her story. I don't think.
It was. Okay. Yeah.
Sorry. I didn't mean to confuse you.
No, it's okay. It's easy to do. I'm not through my first cup of coffee.
Oh. Beware, audience. Beware.
Jen has not had her first cup of coffee yet.
So we learn all of that at the end of book one, because she goes and sees her to talk to her because she's trying to justify her feelings for Dean. And that chick, the chick who got away, she has her own book.
I gotcha. I think yeah. I do remember vaguely seeing something along that those lines, because she like legit falls in love with him, right?
No, it was all a ruse. She loved her professor. Ended up getting pregnant by her professor while she was down there.
Okay, well, apparently I'm just all kinds of fucked up today.
It's okay, we're all messy, but we're in this together.
Okay, so what, was there anything that you liked about the book? All right, well, the silence is loud.
Honestly, I liked that it was a serial killer premise.
Yeah, and even an though, actual serial killer.
Yeah, a real one, and not like part of the plot or anything. I, even though it was fake enemies to lovers, I still liked that. And I liked Dean, because yeah. even though he was struggling, and he struggled a lot, more yeah. so than I think her, he still found a way to be there for her. And then he's just like, and I honestly think that the leaving was more for his sake than her sake. He's like, I mean, even though she kept on clinging to him, you know, he was never going to be able to say no to her. So he had to leave. But I think that it was in his best interest.
Yeah.
To leave too. And like, just so I am kind of sad that they glossed over that, like, year apart.
Yeah.
I think maybe if we would have gotten rid of some of the chunk in the middle of, like, her. This is a very sensitive book, obviously, with, like, rape and, like, all the things. But her, like, attempting suicide because of her sister. Like.
Yeah.
I'm trying to say this delicately. It's interesting to figure out what that was a trigger for her and not everything else that happened.
Yeah.
And that's why I don't like her sister, was because of that. But I think that's about, like, not really. I don't think there's nothing that I think, I'm glad that I read it and now I understand. But then I think about all the feedback that people said about it, and I'm just like, I don't see that. And
feedback,
I think,
like what?
About why they liked it, and oh my gosh, this was so da 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 da, and it was great, and here's, you know, they, whatever they were, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because I've been recommended this book quite a few times, and I'm like, maybe I'm desensitized to some of this stuff, but I'm just like, I'm sorry, Dead Soldiers versus Taylors was way worse than this.
Oh my gosh, I was legitimately just thinking that same thought. Well, and I feel like, okay, so I feel like Still Beating was a more realistic depiction of like what would really happen in life if someone were to go through something like this. Mm-hmm. Where Dead Soldiers and, fuck, what is it? Taylors,
versus
whatever.
Taylors, yeah.
Yeah, that. Like, she had a decade of trauma.
Mm-hmm.
And like so much, not brainwashing necessarily, but like indoctrination into this gang, criminal organization, whatever, that her father ran. And then to go through the assault that she went through when she was captured in front of the guys, like, and then for her to basically, like, become free and be like, all right, cool, we're all free, we're all going to go live happily ever after, I feel like it's very unrealistic.
Well, remember, they don't need therapy in the fictional world, okay?
Okay. Tell that to Nesta.
I mean, I don't even think she needs. I mean, she kind of just took all her anger out with the mask and everything on everybody. But, okay, what you're saying is true. It was a more realistic, and maybe that's why people resonated more well with it.
I mean, here's my thing. Like, I would much rather read something that, like, if I'm going to read a dark romance, I want to read it because at the end we're going to get a happy ever after. Like, you know, and granted, you kind of get that in Still Beating in its own way. Like you said, in a more realistic way. But I don't read for the realism. Mm-hmm. Like, if I read for realism, I wouldn't read about dragons with two dicks.
Oh my gosh. Yes. This is very true. I agree.
It's even the dark romance has an element of like escapism.
Mm-hmm.
And if it doesn't have a satisfactory ending, then going through that trauma with the characters, in my opinion, isn't worth it.
I think that is the best description of this.
Yeah.
For those new listeners, Jen's the smart one.
Whatever. No, my sister always says I take things way too literal. That's my problem. But it does make for good discussions on here.
It does. It does. That is, I think I didn't realize that that was what I was trying to say, and you said it just beautifully. Like, it's too realistic. It's not, and there's nothing wrong with that, you know?
Right, absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with that. That's just not what we want to read.
Yeah. Yeah, well, and I mean, not to go totally off topic here, but I just finished a book, the one I was telling you about yesterday, The Teacher by Freida McFadden. And the reason I love her books is they're psychological thrillers. There's always like a really cool twist that when you pay attention, you can normally pick out. And I love her books. I've binged like, I think I've read 6 or 7 so far this year. But there was a very real element of grooming and statutory rape. And like, I struggled with it. Because with our dark romance stuff, like, I guess you kind of go into it knowing shit's going to go down. Like, you know, it's dark romance. You have a full trigger warning. You have a full trigger list, the whole nines. And there wasn't any of that for this book when I started it. And it was way too real for me to like disengage and just read the story. So I would prefer to read things that, you know, bad stuff can happen, but don't make it real. Don't make it realistic.
Yeah. That's a good point, because some of those times when you get those scenes or those feelings, like it pulls you out of the story. And that's the worst thing that can happen is if you get pulled out of a story.
Yep.
I'm trying to think if there's anything else that I think is worth talking about. But I don't think that there is.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
I am dying for our Sea of Ruin discussion.
Okay, I'll put that next on my list. I was literally last night, I was just like, you know, we've been in this book funk. And like, as soon as I finished, you know, the last CC book, I was just like, oh my gosh, I'm free.
You're not.
I'm like, there's no like impending time limit reading right now. And I think, you know, because we kind of talked about this on Voxer about, you know, the timing of reading books for book clubs and stuff. It just wasn't fitting. And I was just like, I can read anything I want right now. And I got super excited. And then I reread a book that I've already read like a million times.
Well, I'm glad you're able to go back to the comfort read. But
I was like,
Iron Flame, you still only see a ruin.
Okay, so I'll just see a ruin next. That'll be easy. I think I'm going to wait on Iron Flame until we read Fourth Wing for book tournament in 2 months.
I saw all those messages. I need to check those out. Okay, so final rating on Still Beating.
Well, Do we want to do final rating or darkness first?
Oh, well, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. No, you're darkness. Okay. I mean, it's 5 for me.
Yeah, it has to be a 5. Because even though she's vague, it's still on page.
Yeah.
Like, there's 5 for sure. So for listeners, check your trigger warnings.
Yeah, for
sure. On this one. Spicy, I'm going to say, can we even do 0? Like, I don't even know if that's a thing. I think this is the second book I've wanted to give a 0 to. Maybe the third. But for spicy.
Aren't there scenes? Aren't there, like, scenes, though?
I mean, there's, like, 3, I think, maybe. But, like, I don't know if they're I don't think that they're spicy. So maybe a 1 because they do have sex. But, like.
And on page.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm good with a 1 because I don't, like, it's, I mean, yeah, I'm good with a 1.
I mean, the first time they had sex after being held hostage, like, I literally, it's in a bed. Like, that's all that I can remember. Like, I cannot remember. And I could be making it up. It could not even be in a bed. Like, there's nothing that stands out about it. Like, they just had sex after. So I would say a 1.
Okay.
And then overall rating, I'm probably going to say 2.
Yeah, I was thinking 2.
Because it's like, eh. That's what 2 feels like to me, eh.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't, I mean, I remember reading this and just being very underwhelmed. Like, didn't see the hype.
Yeah. Okay. This is probably going to throw people for a loop. It's probably going to throw you for a loop. But I don't even know if I want to say this because it's being recorded. I get so much trash for this. But that stupid motherfucking book, Perfect Strangers, I feel like was way better than this one.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, agreed.
Like,
because without the, like, honestly, without the psychological part. Or not the psychological.
No, psychological for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. Without that, without her being in a, you know, psych unit, if they had taken that entire piece out of Perfect Strangers and done the rest, like where it's meta, I would have loved it. I would have loved it. Like, I would have been so cool having the story end with them in France and then she's walking into her editor's office. Like, cool twist. It's a book within a book. We still have this really badass story. You still get these really badass characters without this, like, ridiculously tragic storyline.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I completely agree.
Okay. I thought you were going to harp on me on that.
Mm-mm. No, because we both loved the first 70% of that book.
Oh, absolutely.
Like, up until that point, it was 100% a 5-star book.
Yep.
So no, I completely agree.
Have you read anything else by Jennifer Hartman?
Mm-mm.
I think she has a couple other things that people have raved about, too.
Yeah.
Be sure, audience, you know, check the trigger warnings before you read this book. It does have some sensitive material. Sensitive material? Sensitive triggers. Right? Sensitive material? All the above. Yeah.
All right, listeners, thank you so much for joining on this episode of the Bones of the Story podcast. If you've read Still Beating, where does the darkness rate with you?
Thank you for joining us on the journey into the shadows of love, where dark romance stories come to life.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of Bones of the Story as much as we did. If you did, don't forget to subscribe and leave a review. Your feedback means the world to us.
And to stay updated on all things dark romance, follow us on social media. You can find us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube.
We'd also love to hear from you. Share your thoughts, ideas, or even your own dark romance stories with us. Drop us a line at bonesofthestory@gmail.com.
Remember, our next tantalizing episode is just around the corner, so keep your hearts open and your senses sharp.
Until then, embrace the darkness and let the stories continue to stir your deepest desires.
This is Misty
and Jen
signing off from Bones of the Story.